It's time for our second guest now. Cyclical vomiting. Delightful, isn't it, today? Cyclical vomiting syndrome is a disorder that causes recurrent episodes of nausea, vomiting and tiredness. This condition is diagnosed most often in young children, but it can affect people of any age. Here to tell us more about it is Sunny Chong. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Hi there.
So, good afternoon. Hi.
It doesn't sound very nice at all. What exactly is it?
Well, it's a condition which was originally described way back in the late 1800s by Samuel Gee, when he talked about recurrent vomiting in children, and they're all very young children below 9 years of age. But we now recognize that there is this syndrome of children and even adults who have this unknown vomiting, which occurs in a periodic manner, meaning it's episodic. It comes in a cycle, so once every 2 weeks, once every month, and particularly in adults, it comes up probably once in every 3-4 months, yeah. So it's rather frightening, and a lot of people think that the reason for this vomiting could be due to anxiety and stress. But sometimes it isn't. There are other reasons. And it's quite important to try to make a diagnosis to make sure it's not an organic disease, meaning it's got a medical connotation, meaning it could be due to a GI disease, a kidney disease, an endocrine disease, or even a brain problem, yeah.
Oh, crikey. So you've said the episodes. When you have an episode, how long does it generally last?
It usually lasts in children from about 1 to 3 days, and it's quite severe. It's probably the most severe form of vomiting illness in childhood. It's far worse than acute gastroenteritis or any viral infection, yeah. And the vomiting could occur 10 to about 50 times within an hour.
Christ.
And sometimes it is so violent that the poor children, when they vomit, they would vomit and have blood or hematemesis.
Oh, dear. And
even sometimes you can even get bile staining. So it's quite severe, yeah.
And why, Dr. Sunny Chong, mainly in children?
Well, it started, I guess, way back when it was first described and medical knowledge was not advanced. It was thought that this was a form of migraine. It's a bit like migraine, but affecting the abdomen. So we used to call it abdominal migraine in the old days. But we now recognize that the abdominal pain and the vomiting is actually due to many different factors. And we think that it's probably a gut brain axis. So if you like, it's as if some message is being sent from the brain to the gut, and that makes you vomit, yeah.
So
usually before we even make the diagnosis, we need to make sure it's not due to some problem with an acute abdomen, for instance, a malrotation in the gut, or an abnormality in the kidneys. But all those things have got to be excluded by the doctors first.
Yes, of course, of course. So are headaches a symptom of it then as well?
Yes. Now, some of the children who present with it would describe headaches in between the symptoms. But the majority of them who actually have that vomiting actually have the cyclical vomiting. And as they grow older and reach their teens, in their 15s or 16s, they gradually change from vomiting to headaches. And those headaches are really migraine headaches, yeah. I would say probably out of the so-called numbers of patients that we have, I would say about 40% of them would then change to migraine headaches or continue to have cyclic vomiting as young adults.
And of course, if you are continuously vomiting as much as you've said, you're going to have a loss of hydration, aren't you? You're going to be dehydrated. So presumably they have to drink lots of fluids.
Oh, absolutely. So during the acute episode, many of these children have to be admitted to the hospital because they would get very dehydrated and they would need IV fluids, 10% dextrose with saline to actually keep them well hydrated, yes. And some of them could be so severe that, as I said, they could end up with esophagitis, with hematemesis, with bleeding because they're vomiting blood, because they're tearing blood vessels in the esophagus and stomach, yes. So it's quite important to actually treat them as quickly as we can and to get them better, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Our first guest was talking about acid reflux, and of course that can completely burn the esophagus, which I would imagine is similar to continuously vomiting.
Absolutely, yes, because the longer you vomit, after a while you end up with the changes of a chronic esophagitis, which could also be an erosive esophagitis, yeah. Well, we just had a girl, rather a young lady. She was a young girl when the illness started, but she's now a young adult. And she started having recurrent vomiting and she ended up with severe erosive esophagitis, yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's right, yeah.
And can people learn what triggers it, or is there a one-fits-all trigger that would happen, or is everybody different?
No, I think everybody's different, but we do know there are precipitating factors. For instance, we know infections would trigger it, so fairly frequently an upper respiratory infection could trigger it. What would be considered to be a mild infection could throw this young person into episodes of fitful vomiting. It could be due to motion. For instance, travel sickness could bring it on. It could be in the female population, periods, menstrual periods, or the beginning of a period could actually throw it on. Or it could even be due to certain foods. Mm. Very much like migraine, I suppose. You could think of the foods that actually precipitate migraine. Those are the similar sort of foods that could do it. But very frequently, there's no known cause. And that's where the problem is, yeah.
Mm. And what about treatment?
Now, we've got treatment in the acute phase, the treatment that we call the abortive treatment, where we try to control it with acute medications such as metoclopramide, ondansetron. These are serotonin antagonists. And they work quite well, even antihistamines could work quite well, and it's important to use it over a 24-48 hour period. But in the vast majority, they get better within the second or the third day. But in those who don't, then you need to continue to treat them with what we call prophylactic treatment. Because if you have more than, say, 4 or 5 episodes in a year, then you end up using prophylactic treatment. And that would consist of the long-term migraine therapies that we do have, things like propranolol, bisotifan that we have, various drugs that are available, sumatriptan, which is also available in the market, which is used long-term.
And could it be caused by stress at all, do you think?
Yes, this is the interesting question. Now, many of the children that we have actually end up having stress factors because it may be secondary to the illness, but it suddenly has been shown that stress can bring it on. And even sometimes a happy occasion could bring it on. For instance, a birthday party or an excitement about going to a trip abroad could actually spark it and bring it on.
And is there any cure for it, Dr. Sunny Chong, or is it just a matter of managing it?
Well, this is interesting because we, as I said before, the children who have it, as they grow older, many of them outgrow it. But as I said, something like a good 50% of them don't, and they continue to manifest the illness as a young adult. And now there's a lot of interest in the adult world of medicine that this condition exists in adults, and it can start at 30 years of age or 40 years of age, and they can have exactly the same illness. And sometimes the illness is so severe, and it could, if you like, it may coalesce, meaning you have vomiting in a cycle or episodically. But after a while, it becomes a continuum. So you have the illnesses or feelings of nausea almost every day. So we call it a coalescing cyclic vomiting syndrome, yeah.
Well, I really feel for people who suffer that. Is it genetic, or is it just attacks some people and not others?
Yes, that's an interesting question, because we do know that there are certain individuals who have more predisposition to dysfunctional vomiting. And we think it's a bit similar to the story for migraine and even for functional bowel diseases like irritable bowel syndrome, that there is a certain cohort of patients who actually have a family history. So there's always a strong family history of migraine, or if you like, an irritable bowel syndrome in the family history, which actually is associated with this condition. So you may be predisposed if there is a family history, yes.
Right, okay. And if anybody's listening and thinking that they can associate with this, are there any relevant websites they should be going to?
Well, that's right. Well, obviously in the United Kingdom, we've got the cyclic vomiting syndrome, is CVSA UK, and similarly, there's one in CVSA in the United States, yes. But I believe in Spain, there is a website, it's CVSA Spain, but I'm not quite sure who the people are who are running the association. They might be listening in, I hope.
Yeah, let's hope so. And if you are, do give me a call, CVSA in Spain. Well, Dr. Sunny Chong, it's been fascinating. Thank you so much for explaining that so succinctly. And you take care of yourself in London.
Thank you. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.